recent study says younger people are more likely to believe in hell. And you are listening to it. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I went to a burrito place for dinner slash lunch. You know the way you have, it's like Subway where you almost supervise them making the sandwich for you. In this case, it was a burrito. Do you want a little more of this? Yes, please. Thank you. And then I paid for it, and then I left. And I left the burrito right there with them. I don't know what they were thinking after I left. They were, was that guy a secret shopper? Just wanted to see how, because it's all in the folding of the burrito. If you don't know how to fold a burrito, you got a disaster in trying to eat that burrito if they haven't folded it properly. But then I went back later and I was like, hey, you guys have my burrito? And they said, are you the guy who like just has a burrito made and leaves? And I was like, yep, that's me. And they gave me the burrito. Actually, it was still on the counter and nobody knew it was even there. I was like, is this mine? And they looked at me and goes, I don't know. That was a story from my life that nobody enjoyed. Welcome back. It is The Rundown. I am Jim Richards. Let's get into the excitement of all of us talking, the enjoyment of the lovely Mike K. Cook, co-host of The Morning Show on AM 800 in Windsor. Mike, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no problem, Jim. I enjoyed the burrito story. That was really, really intriguing.
I just left, Mike. Laura, have you ever left after supervising the making of the burrito? It's like they thought probably, that guy was just checking out the assembly line and left. She's with Power Group Communications and host of The O Show. Laura, how are you?
I'm good. You know, the best burrito we've ever had was in Santa Barbara or somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're in one of the Santas in California on the beach. A breakfast burrito with guacamole. Amazing.
I've always said the breakfast burrito, most important burrito of the day. Let's get underway here. Laura, I want to start off with not so much opinion stuff, but we'll get to Windsor in a second and Mike. But Laura, what are your thoughts or what are people talking about? I know it's Stony Creek, but it's pretty close to Hamilton. What a terrible story over the weekend. What are people saying?
Stony Creek is part of Hamilton now since amalgamation in 2000. And so, you know, it is a sad Hamilton story. Most people are talking about, you know, how horrific that this landlord who had a gun went and shot some tenants over a dispute that they were having. And both the young couple were killed and the landlord was killed by the police. But what's kind of disturbing in this, Jim, is that there are some people out there who are kind of defending the landlord's rights because there were some issues with the tenants. And I just hate that. Brutal. Because obviously it's ridiculous. There's no excuse for murder, period. But it also kind of goes to, as this housing crisis keeps getting worse and worse, and the renting crisis worse and worse, people are really getting into these bizarre camps where they're going to extremes. And so it's really sad to see in Canada, you know, if somebody was in a flood and lost their house and couldn't afford to rent or buy another one, we would give them shelter and help them. There's no reason for us to kind of get on either sides of a culture battle over having adequate housing. And you know, landlords and tenants should both be listened to and supported. So it's an ugly turn.
And Mike, how about an update of where things are right now with Stellantis? We're going to go in depth a little bit later on. Somebody who you interviewed earlier today from the Automotive News Canada, we're going to talk to them coming up after 8 o'clock. But what is the latest you're hearing about the negotiations?
Yeah, Greg Gleason, he'll have all the latest. He's very connected. And well, basically the latest is the mayor today held a press conference with the rest of city council and a number of other local politicians here to say, get this done. Like, get this done. What are we waiting for? And has opened up a petition for everybody to sign to show their support that we want this done. Now, Eric Kuzmierczyk, who we're going to talk to tomorrow morning on AM 800, talked about today the Deputy Prime Minister, Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland said the answer is absolutely yes. We will ensure the deal goes forward. We will ensure the jobs stay in Canada. Then what's taking so long? Get it done. It was done. Then it was undone. And now we want it done again.
Yep. Well, fingers crossed. Let's hope it gets done real soon. You guys are going to be watching Alberta tonight, and what do you think is going to be the most interesting thing that you'll be taking a look for? It's a very tight race, although it looks like Danielle Smith is now ahead to become continue to be the premier of Alberta. Laura?
Well, I'm going to be watching for Calgary because Rachel Notley has Edmonton and the bigger cities, and Danielle Smith, UPC, has the rural and suburban parts, but Calgary is the big vote getting toss up. I think it's probably going to go to Danielle Smith, incumbent advantage, but also part of this bigger push we're seeing in Canada. When we saw Harper endorse her and Poilievre endorse her, and she's not a normal candidate in the sense of traditional candidate. She has said a lot of things and doubles down and subscribes to that kind of populist politics that I know a lot of us are concerned about across the country. But I think she's probably going to win this. Yep. And we're going to have to watch carefully and see what happens in Alberta. Could be a bit of a harbinger for things to come nationally.
I got to say, everybody who's criticized Danielle Smith when she said that COVID things were like Nazis and didn't want to wear a poppy during COVID, I agree with her when she says, listen, everybody makes mistakes. Yeah, but they don't make those ones, Danielle. What are you looking at for tonight, Mike? Are you interested in this?
Yeah, I am, because how do you vote for somebody with, a past like saying things like that? And this is the first time, really, people are going to the polls to vote in the party led by Danielle Smith. You know, she got in there and after a resignation. So this is the first time she's the leader of that party. Will they vote for that party with her leading it? Mm. It looks like that's a strong possibility from some of the advanced polling that we see out there and some of the studies that they've done. But I think it's going to be pretty close. Yep. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Yes. So I am interested, Jim, to see who is the winner later on tonight.
I've heard from a lot of people out there. And when I say I've heard from a lot of people, that basically means I've listened to podcasts. And what I think is really interesting about this whole thing is that, you know, there are plenty of conservatives who don't see themselves within a Danielle Smith-led party. But the fact of the matter is this wacky Take Back Alberta movement that kind of came and rose out of the ashes of the pandemic kind of own her. I mean, they proudly say we got rid of Jason Kenney. They run the party now and have taken it over. And so I don't know if she can like distance herself from all the quacky, crazy stuff that she has said, because they'll get rid of her in a second. And maybe
isn't that what we're saying though? But sorry to interrupt, Jim, but that's exactly what we saw with Kevin McCarthy and the House of Representatives in the U.S. The Taliban 20, they're calling them, this extreme group of Congress people control him now, because one of them votes against him, he loses the leadership. Yep. That's why they took it to the 11th hour to even get their debt ceiling raised. So, you know, it's wacky and they're crazy and they say ludicrous things. But when they have control over the actual levers of power, it's scary.
Yeah.
All right.
After Donald Trump got elected, anything can happen.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw something at you guys that has to do with my life, and I've not prepped you on this, so I feel bad.
Is this about the burrito again?
No, it's not the burrito. It's me. May 8th was the last time I checked my credit card statement. How often do you guys check your credit card statements?
I think when I get it, when I get the statement, then I'll check it most of the time, and I do peruse to see if there's any charges that were not mine.
Once a month. You're not, like, auditing on online and...
No,
I got a credit card and teenagers. I check my phone like every 2 days to see what charges come off my card.
Okay, so I checked mine on the weekend because I was like, I got a notification that said you're $100 off of your limit, and I was like, wait a second, I know my limit is for some reason ridiculously high. It's like $18,000. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I called them and I thought, I think you got a problem on your end. And they're like, nope, you owe us $18,000. And I was working. They had realized they made a mistake 3 weeks ago and they credited me $7,000. So somebody had compromised my car. Apparently I'm buying farming equipment in Saskatchewan with my card. And the person who is I'm talking to from the bank is like, well, you got to check your credit card statement a little more often. But I'm within the Mike camp where I'm still like only looking at it when it comes in the mail. But that happened to me, $20,000 over the course of 2.5 weeks. So keep all over that stuff, folks. The rundown continues in a moment on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Big questions looming. If you have a t-shirt that appears clean and the armpits don't stink, do you wash it? We'll ask our fine panelists that question. In a matter of moments, it's called a tease, folks. Mike K. Cook is one of the talented broadcasters joining us right now from AM 800 in Windsor. Laura Babcock, same about her, Power Group Communications and The O Show. I find it interesting that people always invoke free speech. What about Anthony Bass's free speech? He shared a video on Instagram that is encouraging people to boycott Bud Light and also Target down in the United States.
Here's the reason biblically why I believe Christians ought to be boycotting Target and Bud Light and any other corporation.
All right, that's enough of that. But I get, like, the conversation to me was interesting when people pointed out when James Reimer, the goalie, didn't want to wear a Pride t-shirt for a skate around, that, you know, he says all this stuff about how he loves everybody, blah, 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 then wear the thing. If your religious beliefs don't endorse or don't condone people in the LGBT community and you're one of these, hey, let's love the sinner and hate the sin, the flag and the jersey or whatever it is, it's about inclusivity. And it's about letting people know that they're welcome here. And then you hear the guy talk and he says, well, no, yeah, they're welcome here. Of course they are. And then I'm like, I don't get the point. And I would quarrel with your take on Christianity as well, but that for another day. But apparently his free speech is being violated. But what about my free speech? Don't I have the freedom to kind of like call out what I see as something that's not an authentic move, Mike?
I mean, people can say whatever they want, but it doesn't mean they can't, you know, get out of the consequences of what people think about them and what their, you know, what the backlash will be if they're saying something that's very controversial or not politically correct or whatever it might be. Because, you know, yeah, you can say whatever you want. You can post it on social media. This dude on Instagram seems like he likes to get some attention, get some followers. He has a few, so good for him. But yeah, you got to live with it then. You know, you got to own it.
Yep. What about you, Laura? Anthony Bass, he was a pitcher for the Blue Jays, and he shared this guy's opinion, and there is a Pride night for Blue Jays coming up in about, I think it's the 9th of June.
I think it's really sad, but I got to tell you, this whole, they're welcome, but we don't support Bud Light, we don't support Target, we don't support blah, blah, blah. They're not welcome. They don't mean them to be welcome. You can't have it both ways. I was raised by a fundamentalist Baptist minister who unfortunately held a lot of those kind of views, and they don't. The whole love the sinner, hate the sin thing, I mean, what is the sin anyway? I find that whole argument such garbage. You either care about people and feel that they are welcome and they are equal to you, or you don't. You know, yeah. So all of this skating around the edges of this stuff is nonsense. Either you believe in inclusivity and you're not just accommodating people or accepting people, you actually think of them as equal to you and no lesser than you, or you don't, right? So I'm sick of all this kind of playing it both ways. They're not welcoming. They don't want LGBTQ people to be included. Like, let's just call it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, you know, Anthony Bass included, who just, he looks for the drama. He finds the drama. This is the guy, the Blue Jays pitcher, who claimed a flight attendant made his pregnant wife clean up after their child. And it turned into a big Twitter debate a few months ago.
Yeah. Well said. So, you know, on the same note, and not to dwell on it too much, there's the York Catholic District School Board just above Toronto, just north of Toronto. Police are going to be present at a trustee meeting tonight as they decide whether or not they're going to raise the pride flag, which I guess is going to be the same sort of rigmarole. Hopefully nothing goes sideways, but it's one of the reasons I think it's time to get rid of the Catholic school board in this country. And
oh,
in the
100%, Jim.
100%, Jim.
Yeah, one school board, and you'll save a ton of money at the same time.
All right.
Not only that, but how can you have, and even this is the one time that Stephen Lecce, the Ontario Education Minister, and I have agreed on anything when he said, seriously, when he actually came out and said, no, it's about inclusivity. It's about everyone being equal and know they're welcome. You can't just go off and say you're not going to raise the pride flag. You know, good for him on that, because these parents should be embarrassed. And yes, when I say this, I'll get a lot of hate like I did last time, but I mean it. You know, when kids are watching this, you know, heaven forbid that your child has been trying to come out to you and trying to live their life freely, and they see you at this school board meeting doing these videos of yourself, your social media posts, you know, bullying some teacher or someone else who's trying to support inclusivity. It's embarrassing for these parents. It's harmful potentially for their children and other children who see them doing this. Stop.
Yep.
Woo! Get out the extinguisher. She's on fire.
Yeah, 100%. And I got to say that either Jesus is about love or he's not. And I don't think there's any middle ground there. This is a story from where else? Florida, underlining the great achievement of watching your kids participate in sports, but only if you can punch out the referee or the umpire.
This umpire is a 63-year-old man. He's a veteran. So the umpire is, you know, obviously going to maintain control of the game, because that's what they're there to do. He says, I was just defending my kid. And I said, you know, your kid's between a chain link fence and a man.
So he knocked out the umpire. I love what they're doing in this small town in New Jersey. They've decided if you're one of these problem parents, hey, you suit up and you ump three games.
They're coming here. They're being abused. They don't need that. So they're walking away. You're not allowed to come onto our complex until you complete three umpire assignments. Once you do that, then we'll let you come back.
If the parents are going to be sitting there yelling the whole entire game, they might as well use that energy like out on the field.
I bring this up, guys, because referees in soccer in Ontario will soon have body cams.
We are the very, very first country to be trialing body cams.
Human behavior has changed, and we've seen an increase in aggressive behavior towards referees and matches.
It's really quite sad that it has come to this point. We're talking referees that are only 14, 15 years old.
What I was really interested in that report from CTV, Mike, is that pre-pandemic, they had 600 volunteer referees in Ontario. Now they've got about 260. So good idea or bad idea, body cams for umpires and referees.
Yeah, why not? I mean, people see, it's right in that one clip, people's behavior has changed. People are more aggressive. We saw it in that clip, you know, talking about what's happening in Florida. And these referees, you know, when they're refereeing like young kids, they are only 14, 15 years old. My nephew is now umpiring baseball. And it's like some parents, and even back in my day when I was playing baseball, there was always one parent who thought their kid was going to the major leagues, or we were playing in the major league level. And now people are even crazier and more violent. So I say, why not give it a try? And hopefully it keeps everybody safe.
Hello.
All right. We're going to talk about I was doing some of my best work right there without my microphone on. We're going to talk about the Alberta election before the top of the hour. And first, it's time for Final Takes. Laura, what do you have on the docket for your final take tonight?
Listen, I saw some rhetoric coming out of the Toronto mayor's race around, and some columnists in Toronto around the encampments and how they're growing in city parks. And, you know, some of the mayoral candidates are trying to use it as we're a compassionate society, but this stuff's got to end. The homeless crisis isn't going anywhere until we have houses, right? It is a crisis of lack of housing. And the way most efficiently and most financially sane is to actually just build homes. We've done it in the history of our country at different times like this. Until we build affordable housing and make it available for people, this problem will get worse. So I'm tired of the anti-homeless rhetoric. We should be taking care of one another. It's just the right thing to do. It also is the most affordable thing to do.
All right.
It's what other countries figured out how to do.
Mike, what's your final take?
I want to talk about the antisocial to mow your lawn too early in the morning or too late at night. We talked about this on AM 800 in the morning.
Okay.
The rules that, according to experts, and the one guy, he mows his lawn 10:30 at night on his riding tractor with headlights. Don't do that. That's too late.
It is too late. It's okay. Well, it's the thing about the morning thing is everything. I wake up at noon, so what? Like, I can't invoke any of that stuff with my neighbors, so I just have to live with it. Guys, thank you very much, and have a fantastic evening.
You too, Jim.
We'll watch the Alberta election all night long, and we'll start that off next here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.